Farewell, my lovely novel. Written and read by me, Greg Flynn. The occasional splash of falling tears, also courtesy of, you guessed it, me. Although I'm happy to be corrected, for example, by lawyers for one of Australia's swankier publishing companies, my recollection of my final meeting with the would-be publisher of my second novel left my fiction writing career circling the drain. Standing at the publishing house's front door and channeling Cruella de Vil, the publisher wore a clothes peg on her nose and surgical gloves while holding my manuscript with a pair of barbecue tongs. An experienced flick sent the pages tumbling into a smoker's please ashcan by the steps. She said, "We've changed the locks, emailed North Sydney Police your photograph, and disinfected my office in tray. Obviously, you have no idea what sells books. Next time you write a novel, try a po-faced and derivative literary stinker about an attractive widow left alone to run an outback cattle station until a stranger with a body like beaten steel rides into view." But, I simpered as I knelt on the pavement, scooping my cigarette butt-flecked work out of the can. "My first novel, The Burling Cross, sold well at airports." She sneered. "That's only because when buyers started reading the book at 33,000 feet, they realised they couldn't take it back for a refund." Retreating into the building, she blew two sharp blasts on a police whistle before pulling down a portcullis bearing the publishing company's logo. Or perhaps that scene has only ever played out in a recurring nightmare I have when the effects of the writer's tears whiskey kick in. Nevertheless, the real or imaginary scolding I received leads us to the first rule of novel writing. If you can't take rejection, forget a literary career. When I first schlepped the Burling Cross around the publishing industry before partnering with a literary agent, I was treated like a leper attempting to gatecrash an exclusive club. Undeterred, I was confident, after reading numerous successful thrillers, many of which were humourless hackery, that my manuscript was at least as bad as the best of them. Given I'd enjoyed researching the book in the USA and Germany and writing it in a Sydney suburb, my attitude was simple. Publishers could damn well enjoy printing it. Surely they'd be captivated by the story's logline. A British military policeman and a New York private detective are forced to team up in post-war Berlin to find the missing cross of Christ. Or perhaps they wouldn't be. I realised someone else, aside from me, needed to have faith in the manuscript, a tale inspired by author Raymond Chandler's hard-boiled but surprisingly soft-scented Private Eyes, Orson Welles' movie The Third Man, and the Berlin airlift in the late 1940s. That someone was literary agent Pam Seaborn. Savvy, persuasive and tireless, Pam soon discovered another true believer, Random House's Jude McGee, who later moved on to another publishing company. Jude's gift for spotting and supporting talent, blush, oh gosh, who could that be, is only equalled by her smooth saxophone playing. After successive rewrites under the guidance of a sharp editor, the Burling Cross materialised with minimal marketing in bookstores across the nation. In some of those shops in the author's hometown, a furtive man with his coat collar turned up could be spotted shifting copies from bottom shelves to unearned spots in the bestsellers section. Despite positive reviews, for example, that organ of truth, The Weekend Australian, said, "He is good at the furtive, frantic atmosphere of this genre," Random House forcefully declined my second manuscript. Another publishing outfit, I refer you back to Ms. Cruella de Vil in an earlier section of this story, commissioned my next novel, sight unseen. Sadly, Once seen, they wanted it out of their sight. Since hope is the last thing that dies in a man, I'm considering a new book. Imagine this. On a cattle station veranda at dusk, a widow resembling Nicole Kidman, copyright allowing, watches the lone silhouette of a broad-shouldered, slim-hipped rider as he corrals her mooing herd. It's so ghastly, it could be a success. Or perhaps not. I should add that a version of the script for this podcast first appeared in News Corp publications in Australia.